The Ark of Millions of Years, the Holy Tongue. The Holy Tongue is the pure Adamic language that Noah and his family spoke. In the beginning, when God created Adam, he gave Adam a language that was pure, perfect, and undefiled. It was the language spoken on the spirit earth, and according to the Zohar, Volume 1, page 256, it was the celestial tongue of the gods. The book of Moses, chapter 6, says, "And a book of remembrance was kept in the language of Adam, for it was given unto as many as called upon God to write by the spirit of inspiration. And by them their children were taught to read and write, having a language which was pure and undefiled." Whenever men called upon the Lord in the holy tongue, they were empowered, because it is the language which can fully express the purpose of the heart and thus help to the attainment of the desired goal. Hence, it was deemed a far superior tongue over others in that respect. For that reason, it was also referred to as the sacred language. Previous to writing, the Adamic language was unknown and believed to be extant, since the confusion of the language. True, on this earth the language is dead, but your authors are 100% sure of its identity, and that we are the first in the world to identify the Holy Tongue. It is our claim to fame. Without the knowledge of the vital missing key, which is the union of the polarity, it may have been impossible to learn, or at least very difficult to locate and identify the language. We do not know what Noah and his children called the language other than the Holy Tongue, but linguists have identified and named it Archaic Sumerian. Previous to this chapter, in the Tower of Babel chapter, we explained how we arrived to this conclusion. When Noah and his entourage arrived on this planet, they brought with them all the attributes of civilization already formulated, among which was a written form of the language they spoke. Lawrence Gardner, in his book Genesis of the Grail Kings, said this about the written form of the Sumerian language: "It appeared in a complete and composite form, as if from another world, in the style known as cuneiform, wedge-shaped." Lawrence Gardner doesn't realize how right he was when he penned the above statement. The spoken and written form of the language did come from another world, this spiritual creation, and was brought here by Noah. What is Sumerian? Sumerian is the language spoken initially by Noah in ancient times. Over time, the language became corrupted and is now distinguished into the following four periods: Archaic Sumerian, Old or Classical Sumerian, New Sumerian, and Post-Sumerian. Archaic Sumerian covered a period from when Noah first arrived to this planet, about 4800 BC, down to about 2500 BC. The first Sumerian records make their appearance in Sumer about 3100 BC. The Old or Classical period of Sumerian covered the period from about 2500 to 2300 BC. During this time period, the sources are much more numerous than the time period previous and are represented mainly by the records of the early rulers of Lagash. These records consisted mainly of business, legal, royal, and private inscriptions, and administrative texts, both private and official, including incantations. When the Semitic Akkadians became the dominating political power in Babylonia, during the period of Sargonic dynasty, a definite setback occurred in the progress of the Sumerian language. During this time, the Akkadian language was used extensively throughout the entire area, while Sumerian was confined to a small area in Sumer proper. A brief revival of the language occurred during the third dynasty of Ur, when the New Sumerian period came to an end around 2000 BC, when the third dynasty of Ur was destroyed by invading Semites, who then established their own dynasties of Isin, Larsa, and Babylon. These dynasties were called the Old Babylonian period, and it was during this period that Babylon reached the zenith of her glory as the capital and the most important city in Mesopotamia, resulting in the Sumerians losing their political identity and gradual disappearance of their spoken language. Their written language, however, continued to be written until the end of the use of cuneiform writing. This was the last period of the Sumerian language, called Post-Sumerian. It was during the Old Babylonian period and Post-Sumerian times that the written form of Sumerian blossomed into rich Sumerian literature found in their hymns, lamentations, myths, epics, incantations, rituals, proverbs, and royal inscriptions, as well as legal and administrative texts, which many times were written bilingual, in both Sumerian and Babylonian languages. One of the last rulers of Assyria, King Ashurbanipal, even boasted of being able to read the difficult language as late as the 7th century BC. As difficult as the language apparently was, it did continue to be studied in the Babylonian schools, much like Latin was continued to be studied in modern times, and both continued to be spoken in religious ceremonies. All knowledge of the Sumerian language as well as the written cuneiform writing disappeared around the time of Christ. In a few centuries, the memory of the name of Sumer had disappeared, vanished from history, until the early part of the 19th century, when it was rediscovered through the decipherment of cuneiform writing. Scholars, after sifting through countless Babylonian texts, became aware of the existence of another written language different from Babylonian. At first, it was designated Scythian, later Akkadian, and finally, after much research and new knowledge that came forth, it was named correctly Sumerian. What are the language characteristics? Because your authors are not linguists, we have elected to document from free-use internet websites as indicated. For more detailed study of the language, there is much available in online bookstores. We were surprised to find dictionaries available for both Babylonian and Sumerian in the online stores. It appears that the written form of the language was in constant change during the early periods. If Noah's language and writing system was so advanced, why does the written form seem so primitive? Noah's language and writing system were far advanced of the civilization they came to. Not all of Noah's descendants could read and write the more complicated original system, so it appears they devised a simpler system that all could understand with little or no formal education. As the written form evolved, so did the language change from archaic Sumerian to post-Sumerian. The children of Noah spoke archaic Sumerian. They carried the language as given in the Table of Nations in Genesis to the different nations to which they were scattered, who spoke different tongues. These scattered tribes were assimilated into other nations, who eventually adopted the language and customs of their adopted country. Noah's children were scattered so that they could restore civilization and knowledge to the children of the temporal earth, having survived a great cataclysm, and to bring knowledge of the one true God, the ever-living. Not only was knowledge replenished, but the animals and plants on the ark replenished the earth with new species. In the Book of Mormon, there is an account found in the Book of Ether, chapter 1, of the son of Jared with his brother and their families, who were at the great tower at the time the Lord confounded the languages. Jared prayed unto the Lord to not confound the language of their families and of their friends. The Lord had compassion upon Jared, their friends, and their families, and upon the brother of Jared, Therefore, he did not confound the language of Jared. Jared spoke the holy tongue. Jared, his brother, their families, and friends were led by God to build barges and cross the ocean to the New World. They came to what is now called Central America, approximately 2800 BC. After arriving to the New World, the new immigrants were called collectively the Chichimecas. At least one branch of the Chichimecas were the family and friends of Jared who spoke the holy tongue on this continent. It may have become extant with the extermination of the giants who probably erupted in the family of Jared. There were other families besides those of Jared, his brother, their families and friends who came with them to the now Central American continent who spoke other languages. Of the 24 families who came, there is the possibility that at least 20 of those families spoke another tongue. By 2600 BC, the oldest known language developed into what is known as Mam. It seems to have replaced, or at least become, the dominant language of that period. The U-Mame were named in Guatemalan 1554 writings as a group of people who came with the first settlers. Maybe Mam was their spoken tongue, or the language was named after them. The other tongues appear to have become extinct. Mam is still spoken today, mainly in Guatemala. Perhaps the find of the century is the extraordinary discovery of two items near Lake Titicaca and Tiahuanaco, Bolivia. Around 1958, Don Max Portugal Zamora, a Bolivian archaeologist, learned of the existence of a libation bowl and a monolith statue that had been discovered by a Bolivian peasant farmer but was not shown until the year 2000. The bowl was named the Fuente Magna Bowl. The statue is called the Pocotilla Monolith. Archaeologists were stunned to find Sumerian writing on each of these objects. The artifacts have both cuneiform writing and Proto-Sumerian writing symbols on them. The only civilization known to have both types of writing at the same time were the Sumerians. Anthropologist Mario Montano Aragon states that the bowl shows itself to be the transitional period between ideographical writing and cuneiform. Chronologically, this leads us to the 3500 to 3000 BC Sumerian-Akkadian period. The Pocotilla statue and the Tiahuanaco monuments share similar headdresses and rib impressions along the chest area. Mario Montano has found linguistic evidence that supports the Sumerian presence in Bolivia. He has found startling linguistic evidence that indicates a Sumerian substratum in the Aymara and Quechua languages spoke in Bolivia, Peru, northern Chile, and part of Argentina. Sumerian terms in the Aymara language and Sumerian writing on the Fuente Magna Bowl and the Pocotilla statue make it obvious that the presence of a Sumerian civilization was formerly widespread in South America. It has been speculated that the Sumerians were there to mine tin, and perhaps they were, but in Volume 1 of the Ark of Millions of Years, pages 478 and 479, we wrote of Noah's grandsons, led by Votan, along with the Shining Ones, who were directed by divine command to come to the Americas and restore civilization. Myths from the Andes tell us that this group of people came and settled among the people of Lake Titicaca sometime after the flood of Duca León. This same group of people traveled and lived all over South America. They were able to do so because they lived for hundreds of years. The 12 Shining Ones were angelic disciples of the premortal Christ who accompanied them. Christ was known to the Aymara Quechua speaking people as Viracocha. Noah's grandsons, Christ, and the angelic Shining Ones spoke archaic Sumerian called the Holy Tongue. They were the ones who taught the Sumerian presence to the South American people anciently. It is said that this group of people, the Shining Ones and Viracocha, brought agriculture, animal husbandry, medicine, metallurgy, writing, and knowledge of the one true God to the South American people. It is evident from the style of writing found on the artifacts that the bringers of knowledge came as early as 3000 BC. It is entirely possible that trade routes to the Old World were established as well, furthering a greater Sumerian presence. After all, some other grandsons of Noah were given the divine decree to go and remap the world following the Great Cataclysm. These maps were used extensively by all seafaring nations to cross the oceans. In addition to the above Sumerian finds, Mosley published a number of inscribed Mochica bricks, the northern coast of Peru, 100 AD, and Tiwanaku portrait head, whose characters are identical to the Pocatillo writing. These finds suggest that the Sumerian language continued to be spoken for an extended period of time in the Andean countries. Science is just now catching up. The Sumerian language characters are compared to the Dravidian, India, and Mande, West African languages. They show affinity in grammar and vocabulary. This is because, at one time, cuneiform was used to write Hurrian, Hittite, Elamite, Akkadian, Sumerian, etc. Therefore, it is not surprising that the Sumerians, Minoans, Indo Valley people, Libyaco, Berber people, and Mande use the same writing. This brings us to the case in point that archaeologists have tentatively identified Olmec symbols found near the Olmec site of La Venta, Mexico, as Mande. It is not known for sure if the symbols are a form of writing, and no decipherment has been made. The findings are still under study and are inconclusive to date. It is our opinion that linguists should look for Sumerian linguistic evidence in Mexico and Central America from 2700 BC to 500 AD. If the Sumerians were present in South America during those years, there is high probability that they had a presence, at least a trading presence, in those countries as well. Even with the limited linguistic knowledge that your authors have, we have discovered a few word similarities between Maya and Sumerian Akkadian language. We have a chart of those listed in the book. The Incas used beam scales of balance like those of ancient Rome. They also used the decimal system and the old Sumerian sexagesimal system of measurement by 6, 12, and 60s. The decimal system is over 4,000 years old. Furthermore, the Incas had taken the decimal system from the ancient people of Chimú, who had long been subjected to them. The Chimú had been familiar with the decimal system centuries before the Incas appeared, which further corroborates our writings in Volume 1, that the Sumerian bringers of knowledge came to the ancient people of South America in remote times and restored knowledge and civilization. Recently, while visiting the Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City, your authors made this remarkable find in the Olmec Room. The museum states that the Olmec civilization was made up of many different tribes and cultures. We found this stone head bust, pictured below, of a man wearing a hat almost identical to the Tiwanaku statues. the Pocatilla statue found in Tiahuanaco with Sumerian writing and dating to 3000 BC also wears a similar style hat. This finding indicates an early Sumerian presence during Olmec times in Mexico. During the millennium, it appears that men will once again have the ability to speak and write the Adamic language called the Holy Tongue. In that day, the Lord says he will turn the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. And that's in Zephaniah chapter 3.